Here we are, recording on the second side.
That's a half hour to the side, so.
Half hour to the side, yes.
So, Beaman evidently, there was no, I was just curious if there was in fact any traceable connection.
No connection, no interaction.
You were really in the physics department, or?
I was in physics, and he was in chemistry. Yes.
So, is there any other connections or items of interest during this period before you started your essentially real mass spec career, really got into, you know, many other things that you wanted? How did the war, was the war an issue in anything that you were doing at that time?
Well, for quite a while, it couldn't be an issue, because it was only in 1943, or was it 44? Probably 43, that I became a citizen. Until then, I had been classified as an enemy alien.
So you took citizenship sometime after you came to the United States?
I applied for it, of course, immediately after I came to the United States. But at that time, the lag period was typically 4 years, except during the war it turned out to be longer.
Surprise.
And it was at times disheartening to be classified as an enemy alien when I was as much of an enemy of the Nazis as this country was.
Yeah, if not more so.
Yes. In fact, while I was at MIT, I was limited in where, how far I could move without permission from whoever was in charge. And it took special dispensation for me to go from Massachusetts, from Cambridge to North Jersey when I got married in 1943.
So the war did.
The war did affect me in an indirect way. I wasn't allowed to use my camera. I turned it into my supervisor, Professor Clark Goodman, who kept it for me very kindly until I was permitted to use it again as a citizen.
Mm-hmm.
Those are some of the highlights of that period.
So then you started at RCA Laboratories after you determined that the Zirconi vacuum operation wasn't really going to be good.
No, although I did learn a lot about mass spectrometry, because at that time they had bought, at my insistence at the beginning, a CEC instrument, 180 degree inflection instrument.
Would that be like the 10100 series?
Yes, it was a 101, I think.
Then what did you do with that instrument?
Well, with that instrument I did a number of things, including the low primary energy electron studies to obtain ionization potentials and apply that as an analytical tool too, by being able to eliminate certain components who had higher ionization potentials.
Did this also like eliminate fragmentation in the spectrum?
And fragmentation studies at the spectrum. Then got interested in deuterated materials, which was quite new,
Were they easy to come by?
They were. We were able to get at that time, which was after the war. Yes, I was able to get deuterated water, which was reasonably pure, and then we could make deuterization studies.
What was the interest in the deuterium work in an industrial?
Well, I guess it was the fragmentation studies, and perhaps there was no direct connection or excuse for doing it. But initially they were quite willing to go into studies that might be long-term studies for the first 2 years, and then that stopped.
Was this directed from on high, a management change of position?
There was management change, and eventually they were trying, in fact, to channel me into something else, and I refused.
Into what other area did they want you to?
Well, they thought they were going to take on solid-state physics, and I realized that I was not really prepared to do solid-state physics at that time, or had the necessary background. So after a while, I decided that this was not going to get any better, but rather worse, and I left on my own.
Okay.
They tried to keep me, but I said, no, thank you. But I only left after I evaluated various possibilities to work with Hippel at Westinghouse, to go to Oak Ridge, Tennessee. I had an offer, but then RCA came through, and it turned out to be a very good choice.
So you were contemplating going to work with Hippel then at that time?
Yes, yes. I would have liked to very much. He was a very nice man and very, very positive, but I also realized that Westinghouse was not a particularly good company.
And Oak Ridge, what kind of work did you anticipate there, if you'd gone there?
I would have done some mass spectrometry, but at this point, I must confess I'm a little hazy. And at the time when we visited Oak Ridge, my first wife said, well, I guess this would be all right for a couple of years. And that was not my intent.
Well, Oak Ridge was, at that time, a pretty elementary place to live, I guess.
Yes, but it would have been a very highly interesting place. And some of my former colleagues from MIT were there too.
So you then effectively decided to go to work at RCA Laboratories. Is that located here in the Jersey area? Or
Princeton.
Princeton.
Okay. The Princeton Laboratories, which were very different from many of the other RCA locations. It was indeed a remarkable research laboratory with a very good spirit and some top-notch people there.
When you started, how large was the facility in terms of people?
As I recall, as far as scientists and engineers, they call them also, call all of us engineers from very early on, but let's say scientists and some engineers, about 200. So it was quite small compared to what it then turned out to be in later years. But I joined the physics research group, which was a very nice group with a man in charge at that time by the name of Don North. Don was an abbreviation for his first and middle names. A very fine man with whom I had immediate contact and understanding. And the problem that they were thinking about was to study electron emission from cathodes.
And what, obviously, I guess RCA was in the tube production.
Very much in the tube business. Tube developments, new tubes, understanding the physical processes that occurred during electron emission from an oxide-coated cathode. And that's where the idea was presented, or was discussed rather, that one could determine the surface layer of these oxide-coated cathodes by positive ion bombardment.
So this would be a way of sampling surface for mass spec analysis?
Exactly. The pre-runner to what you now call SIMS. And that problem appealed to me immediately as something very worthwhile to look into, because it was something entirely new. As far as I knew, nobody had ever done anything like that before. Although later on I found that there had been a very short note by Herzog in Vienna right after the war, who used he had a mass spectrometer, the Herzog of the Mattau-Herzog combination. Some very, very rudimentary work had been done, which however nobody was aware of, including myself, until mid-50s I found out. So that's when it all started, and I then proceeded to design an instrument, first of all, quite I had big ideas that it would be possible to use a double stage instrument, the first mass spectrometer to produce the primary ions and select them and selectively bombard the surface sitting in the second mass spectrometer. I soon found out that there were problems in sensitivity. At that time, there were many things not yet available that we have today.
So let me clarify this. You would use a mass spectrometer to select the ionic species with which to bombard the surface.
Exactly.
From which other species would be emitted
exactly.
and analyzed in a second mass spectrometer.
Exactly.
So the first mass spectrometer was almost like an ion source of sorts.
And these were now 180 degree deflection instruments, and there I must make a correction, of course, coming back to my very first instrument at MIT, which would have been called a 60 degree deflection instrument, because you go 60 degrees with the original direction. So that needs to be changed on the earlier statement. So I had, in fact, and I still have somewhere, the original plans for a double instrument that went in sequence like that, but soon realized that I'd start less ambitiously with an ion source, which I then decided to put right into the so-called second sector.
This would be a design that you would have had, you would have built, or you built. It wasn't a commercial instrument that you were buying.
No, there was no way of, this was all to be constructed right at RCA.
They had facilities for doing.
They had excellent facilities. They had an excellent, what they call it a model shop. Mm. It was really a group of people who could produce almost anything mechanical. So the first working instrument then probably dates from 52. It took me about 2 years. And then there were various different things too. I needed a magnetic supply, power supply, magnet power supply, that would be highly stabilized. So I was able to use a stabilization scheme that they had developed at RCA for their aboriginal computers.
Aboriginal?
Quite, well, nearly aboriginal. These were very early in the 1950s. 1950, at that time, they had a computer that was housed in a huge building. And so I had a stabilization of roughly 1 part in a million that I could achieve for the magnetic field stabilization.
So you used the same basic design?
It was a beautiful design. It involved 42 A3 tubes. 2A3 was the name of the tube that were running in parallel and produced a fantastic amount of heat, which was, now this, in fact, I have a, some of this I have written up in the paper, which I think I brought along for you, the early days of mass spectrometry there, where it turned out that in summertime the system just couldn't be operated because there was no air conditioning. The RCA people were not quite sure that air conditioning would really work. And so it was only installed after quite a few years that I had been there. And it was installed just as an experiment for the administrative wing, but for nobody else. And it turned out that my particular laboratory was one of the last that could air conditioning. And I might also mention, I have this written up, that I called in at one time the man in charge of the buildings and grounds and power and showed him that it was impossible to work with high voltage under these conditions of high temperature, high humidity, because I had spark open. Well, he said, the way to handle this is to reduce the relative humidity, and to do that, all you need to do is to install some heaters.
Make it worse.
That was true, believe it or not.
Well, that changes the relative humidity, but...
The relative humidity. Correction.
So you had support in this activity from, other than not getting air conditioning, but you had financial support and interest in this?
Financial support, although they didn't initially how much it would cost either. I had no help, no assistance or anything. I did everything single-handedly with my two left hands. But I had very good support all along and interest. So then, at one time, I was ready to do the experiment just before I did. It turned out that there was a problem with germanium impurity. So I was asked to see if I couldn't use my equipment to study germanium impurities, which I did. It was an approach that was slow, but it did work, and I was able to point out what impurities there were in the germanium samples. It was not by any means as fast or eventually as sensitive as the SparkSolz mass spectrometer that was being developed at the same time at Bell Labs, in fact.
So this was helped you, I guess, with the management being able to address an issue?
Well, it helped management. It didn't help me because it set us back on our original plans. But eventually I was able to do, finally in around 1953, secondary ion mass spectrometry. But in the process too, there were some sidetracks which were very interesting. When I was studying the germanium, I found to my great surprise that germanium vaporizes not just as an atomic form but also molecular form. And nobody had ever seen such a thing before, certainly not for germanium or for the group 4 elements. When I presented this at a science section, a science meeting, internal science meeting, there were some people who poo-pooed it and said, oh, this can't be right. And that then led me to enlarge this and not just look at germanium, but also silicon and carbon, particularly because at that time the carbon energy needed to vaporize carbon was not well known. There were in fact three different potential values that had been established by spectroscopy, and I was able to show that the carbon value was 170 micro, forgive me, calories per mole.
170.
170. Not 120, not 90. That was independently, and I didn't know about that either, also determined by Mark Ingram at the University of Chicago at the same time. When I heard about it, I acknowledged his work and had sent him mine. He never acknowledged mine. So, after these issues that were not secondary ion mass spectrometry, as we know it now, I finally got around to making first real experiments with a special primary ion producing source right in the mass spectrometer, basic mass spectrometer source, and studied a dirty piece of silver and found the most amazing things on the silver surface.
Why did you select this piece of silver?
Because it was there. And that then led to more sophisticated further experiments.
So this was the beginning of using the kind of like a particle desorption technique, or ionized particle desorption, where you hit a surface and dislodge ions and material characters.
Producing primary ions in a primary source, hitting the target and looking at the secondary ions.
Yes. What was the primary ion? Was it argon or?
I used all the rare gases eventually, but I started, I think, with argon. Argon, krypton, xenon. I think I also tried helium.
This was just exploratory to find which would work best, if any?
It was exploratory to which would be most efficient.
And the silver surface yielded information about
many impurities that happened to be on that particular silver. And that silver surface had not been degassed even. It was just put in raw the way it was. And from then on we went into many other surfaces.
So this was to follow up on the emission, essentially materials for emission for tubes.
Correct.
But by this time, was tubes still...
By this time, that problem had been pretty well resolved and was no longer of interest, so the Simsburg now began to be free-floating.
And then you went ahead and started in to look at other materials? What was the rationale then?
I had to refresh my memory what the next...